Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that are tucked away there in your bulletin as you came in, we're in a series entitled, Help, I'm Drowning. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 69, verse 1, he said, Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I'm in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat's parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. I think all of us at one time or another have been in that point. Some of you are maybe there today. So we've looked at different things that we have to face in our life that feel like they overwhelm us. It feels like we're in deep water. It feels like we're just drowning. And today we're going to look about drowning in debt. We're going to talk about money. Yay. Okay. I will expect it to be a little quiet, but we'll go on, all right? Here's what we need to do. We're going to talk about how you and I need to look at the financial struggles that we face. The Bible says that when you and I become Christians, we change how we think so that you and I don't think about money or finances the way other people do. We think about it differently. And in fact, when they look at us sometimes, they think we're weird. They think we're just out to lunch. They don't understand the principles of God's word when it comes to money. We don't look at it like everybody else. So what do we need to do? How do we deal with this so that we don't drown? Well, first of all, I need to learn from the past. I need to learn from the past. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have, what's the word? Learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. Paul, when he's writing this, says, I've had to learn this. You see, all your life, you will be learning things. And the ones that survive best are the ones who learn the best. And Paul says, I have learned how to get along happily. Notice that word happily. Whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned, there it is again, the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. You see, when it comes to your resources and your money, there's things you need to learn. And you and I are constantly learning about this thing. Now, we find ourselves today in a variety of situations and circumstances. Some of you are where you're at financially today through no fault of your own, and you haven't made a mistake. You had a job. That job ended through no fault of yours. Suddenly, you're now without work and can't find work. And so now you find yourself in this place and in these circumstances that were beyond your control, of which you had nothing to do with where you're at. But you know what? There's still something you need to learn, isn't there? The answer is yes, okay? Just don't check out on me already. I mean, please. You know, but some of you are where you're at today because you've made mistakes. Now, you can beat yourself up for the mistakes all you want, but your mistakes will not help you until you learn from them. And you need to learn. You're going to pay for some of the mistakes you made. God's going to help you, but there's still going to be some consequences to them, isn't there? Yes. But you need to forgive yourself for your mistakes. You need to not beat yourself up. You need to put yourself in a place, you know what? I made a mistake. Let me learn from that. Now, the problem is this. Many people, when it comes to their money, make the same mistake over and over and over again. You're not learning. And you need to learn. So one of the first things I have to understand, that if I'm going to deal with the resources that are there and I'm not going to drown, I'm going to have to learn from what's gone on in the past. I'm going to have to learn how things work and how things operate. I've got a lot to learn. And so you've always got to be a learner. The person who scares me the most about money is the one who thinks they know it all. Because they don't. Nobody does. See, we find ourselves in a situation, circumstance today in our country that a lot of people don't have answers for because we've never been here before. And yet everybody thinks someone should have all the answers. The only person who has all the answers is God. Man, don't. And so you and I need to keep learning about our resources. Learn from your past. Learn what was right. Learn what didn't work. Learn what did. Learn the principles that you need to learn. Keep learning. Secondly, prepare for the future. Prepare for the future. Proverbs 6:6. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. You see, why are people lazy? People are lazy when they don't want to learn. Even though they have no prince, governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I want you to learn this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. In other words, if you're gonna survive in the days ahead, you've got to prepare. One of the ways you prepare is by learning. But you've got to keep preparing for the future. Now let me just say something to you, especially those of you that are a little older. There's one thing you have to understand and have to know. When it comes to finances, things in the last 3 and 4 years have suddenly changed. They don't operate the way they used to. And things are different now. And so you have to change. Well, 30 years ago, this is how I did it. Well, that was great 30 years ago. That stinks today. Well, that worked really well back then. It will hurt you today. That's why you got to keep learning. I've got to be prepared for the future. I've got to be able to see a big picture. I've got to be able to see more than just my little world. I've got to understand that when it comes to, you see, if you just think of your little world, then when financial things happen to you, you think it's all about you. You don't understand everything else that's going on. Therefore, you'll make decisions that are very selfishly motivated that will just get you deeper into problems. So you need to see a big picture. You need to prepare for what the future has. Now, let me just give you quickly a list of some of the things you need to do in order to prepare for the future. First of all, you need to downsize your expectations. You need to downsize. You see, you and I got spoiled in how we used to live. Things were a little easier and simpler then. And now we expect things to be just like they were 5, 6 years ago. You need to get rid of those expectations. Things aren't going back. You know, Dorothy isn't going back to Oklahoma or wherever she's from, all right? You're not going back. And see, we keep expecting things to return like they were. They're not going to. So you need to change your expectations. Well, I expect to have this, this, and this. You need to deal with that. And we dealt with that last week a little bit. Secondly, you need to delete your entitlements. Well, and here's what got our country in trouble. Everyone is entitled to own a home. That has bit us, hasn't it? Big time. And you see, we think we're entitled to things. Well, I'm entitled to live this way. I'm entitled to be able to have enough to do this. I'm entitled to have this. And we begin to develop a sense of, I deserve it. God owes it to me. People owe it to me. I should be living like this. I should have this. I should get to have this. And when you begin to live with those expectations and with those entitlements, you create a real problem for yourself when it comes to your resources. Because you start living by what you expect or think you're entitled to, rather than what the reality of it all really is. So if you're going to handle your resources well, you've got to get rid of some expectations that you've got. You've got to get rid of some things that you think you're entitled to. You've got to just say goodbye to them. Thirdly, I've got to discipline my emotions. I've got to discipline my emotions. When you manage your money emotionally, you make bad decisions. Let me say it again. When you manage your money emotionally, you'll make bad decisions. So you have to come to that place where you have to discipline your emotion. Well, I can't have this. I won't be able to ever do this. I can't go there. I used to be able to go here and do this. I used to be able to go here and do this. Get over it. It's different now. Get prepared for the future. It's not the same. It's not going back. And see, as long as you think you're entitled and you're emotionally attached to things, you're going to struggle with finances. You're not going to handle the future well. So you have to come to that place where you're willing to discipline there. Next, you have to realize we now live in a dependent economy. A dependent economy. In other words, it's not just about us. What happens in Greece? What happens in Spain? What happens in Ireland will affect us. What happens in China will affect us. And if you think it's just us, then you don't understand what's going on in the world today. And so you and I have to understand that, you know what? This isn't just about what happens here in my little North Fort Myers area or my Cape Coral area. This is a much bigger picture than all of that. There's a lot more things into play than what I thought. And I need to understand that. That it's not just about what happens here in our town. Now it's about what happens here in our world. Finally, I need to discern eternity. I need to discern eternity. Folks, God is bringing things to a climax. He's bringing things to an end. And what you and I are seeing is the very things that the Scriptures tell us is going to happen in the end times. And I need to be aware that that's what's taking place. This is much more than just a political issue, an economic issue. This is a spiritual issue and a spiritual battle that is going on in the heavenly realms, and God is getting ready to put things into real order. We think different than everybody else, don't we? Hello? I've lost you already, haven't I? Oh, boy. So if I'm going to prepare for the future, those are some things I've got to deal with. I've got to address in my life. Thirdly, I need to protect my marriage. You need to protect your marriage. 1 Timothy 6:6. True religion with contentment is great wealth. After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into the world. We certainly cannot carry anything with us when we die. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires and plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. They tell us that in marriage problems today, 90% of those problems aren't just simply one thing, but 90% of them usually always involve, to some degree, the problem of money. One of the greatest pressures on a marriage is money problems. Now, I'm going to give you some really good advice here, okay? And this is going to be free, okay? If you and your spouse are fighting over money, here it is, wait. Stop it. You need to sit down and you need to come to an agreement, because you don't need that pressure in your relationship. You don't need that pulling you apart. There are enough other issues that will do that. Why would you let money do that as well? And see, the writer here says people craving money. Money is not a security. And if you're thinking money is going to give you security, you're wrong. You and I need to understand that the enemy will do everything he can to destroy our homes. And if we're not careful, we'll let our love for money. Oh, I don't love money. Yeah. Then why are you letting it destroy your relationship? you're loving something more than your spouse, that's wrong, isn't it? Okay. You need to fight for your marriage, and you need to not allow money to bring a division in your home. That's just not smart. Sit down, come to an agreement. Well, we just can't agree. Then get a third party involved to help you and listen to them. Well, I want it like this. Well, they want it like this. Well, let me give you another newsflash about marriage. You don't always get what you want. I had another line, but I'm going to go on. I'm not going to. Okay. You need to make sure that in this day and time, you protect your marriage. A relationship is more important than your finances. And if you're allowing money to create a distance between you and your spouse, the enemy is winning in your home. And you're not being a spiritual person. I'll move on. You need to establish your priority. You need to establish your priority. Now, I want you to notice something. The word priority is singular. I did not say priorities. You just need a priority. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Those who love money will never have enough. How do you know if you love money? Do you have enough right now? Oh, no, I need more. Then you love it. That's a news flash for some, huh? You see, because if you need more, then you're not content, are you? We'll go on. How absurd to think that wealth can bring true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what's the advantage of wealth? Except perhaps to watch it run through your fingers. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich are always worrying and seldom get a good night's sleep. There's another series. See, has money ever kept you awake at night? If it has, then you love money. And let me ask you a question. You lost sleep over it. Did you earn some money by doing that? Did you fix anything by doing that? Okay. Verse 13. There's another serious problem I've seen in the world. Riches are sometimes hoarded to the harm of the saver, or they're put into risky investments that turn sour and everything's lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. People who live only for wealth come to the end of their lives as naked and empty-handed as the day they were born. I need to understand that God is the priority. My life is lived for Him, not for my money. Money is never my priority in life. God is. My relationships are. But not money. Money shouldn't cause you to lose sleep. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? The next blank in your notes. God is my provider. God will take care of me. God owns it all. It's all stuff anyway. It's all His. I'm not the owner. I'm the manager. And so I have to understand that the priority in life is what can I do to live a better life for God, to please Him, and to work for Him and do more, knowing that He's going to take care of me as I follow Him. God is my priority because God provides. Now let me give you a couple problems with loving money. First of all, when you love money, you worry about it. That creates fear. And God doesn't want you to be afraid. Notice the writer in the verse we just read says some people lose sleep because they got a lot of money. They don't know where it is, what's going to happen to it. You shouldn't lose sleep over it. And if you're worrying about it, that's not good. God doesn't want you to live in fear. You and I don't need to be afraid of what's going to happen down the road economically. And if you're afraid, then probably one of the things you got to deal with, and this is a big issue, I think, for a lot of us, you and I are going to have to deal with our pride. Because we want to be self-sufficient. And we think money will make us that. And God made us to be dependent on Him and on others. Never mind. I'll keep moving. Problems with loving money, I work for it. That becomes my focus. In other words, you don't work for money, you work for God. You're to honor Him. Oh, I made a lot of money. Was God pleased with it? Was God honored by it? Did your co-workers respect you more because of your godly way that you did it? Or are they just, wow, look at all the money they made. That's sad. I don't work for money. I work for God. My focus is God, not my resources. Thirdly, another problem, I want more of it because I think that will give me more freedom and fun. See, and there's a great word here that I just detest. I want to be financially free. Finances don't make you free. Only God can make you free. And if you think financial freedom is a worthy goal in life, I just doubt that. God is the source of our freedom. Well, I just want to have fun. See, that's our problem today. We think that in order to have fun, we got to have money. That's not true. Okay, I don't think it's true. The rest of you can work on it somewhere along the road. It's not right. So I need to understand about money and how it works and what's going on, and I need to make the priority in my life correct. Then I need to have a plan. I need to have a plan. Proverbs 3:21, my child, don't lose sight of good planning and insight. Hang on to them, for they will fill you with life and bring you honor and respect. They will keep you safe on your way and keep your feet from stumbling. You can lie down without fear and enjoy pleasant dreams. You need not be afraid of disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Now, everyone has to learn how to manage money. That demands discipline. That's the plan. I need to have a plan on how I'm going to handle the resources that God entrusts to me. They're not mine, they're God's. How am I going to manage or handle my money? I will have to discipline myself to do what is right. In layman's terms, this is called a budget. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Well, we're offering a course called Financial Peace. Take it. Oh, I don't want to take that. Well, then go ahead and be... You can fill in the blank, whatever you want to say there. Isn't it amazing how I'm not good enough, but I don't want to help? Here it is. I don't want to learn anything new. Well, I've always done it this way. And how's that worked so far? Where are you at now? Well, this is always... Hold it. Things are different now. Have you kept up? See, it's very simple. You need to know what you make. It's called income. You need to know what you spend. That's called your expenses. You need to know what you owe. That's called liabilities. You need to know what you own. That's called assets. Well, Pastor, isn't there some new way to do this? No. You have to manage it well and use it well and stay consistent, and there's no new revelation here. You just need to have a plan. How are you going to handle your resources? Now, some of you need to put that down on paper, and you need to make it very clear. There's a few of you here probably you can do it in your head. But what works for both in a marriage? Well, I just need it this way, and they need it this way. Then you need to work together. You need to develop a plan of how we're going to deal with our resources. Now, let me just say something to you in this plan. You need to pay God first. God is, first. Remember we said establish the priority? The priority is God. Because I often get people ask me, well, do I pray off of gross or net? Well, do you want to pay the government first or God first? Okay, good. I'm glad some of you, the answer to that was obvious, I thought. All right? So I need to pay God first. Now, you need to understand something. Tithing, 10%, does not give you a free pass. In other words, if I tithe, then God will just take care of everything. No, I have to tithe, and then I have to manage well the rest. I'm still responsible to manage. And if I tithe and manage in a way that pleases God, then God will take care of me. If I tithe and mismanage the rest, I'm going to pay a heavy price for that. And that's not God's fault. Isn't it amazing? We mismanage our money and then want God to bail us out. We get ourselves in a hole and we hand God the shovel. Now, God will help you get out when you start making some changes and you start putting together some principles that are practical that will help you manage. You need to put God first. Well, Pastor, I find myself in this place, in this place, in this place. And I could talk about a lot of that. I'm not going to. Just let me say this, please. There are financial options that are legal that are not morally right for a Christian. Let me say it again. There are financial options that are legal but are not morally right for a Christian. Proverbs 16:11. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. He sets the standard. So that if you're getting advice from someone, they're saying, oh, you can do this and this is perfectly legal. It might be, but as a Christian, I don't feel like I can do it. Because we operate by another standard. Right? Okay. So that I have to understand. Now you see, the world looks at, you're going to tithe 10% of your money when you're in debt? Yeah, because if I'm going to turn this around, I'm going to have help. And the person's help I need the most is God's. And so I'm going to recognize Him because He's the one who's going to take care of me. And I'm not going to just recognize Him by giving my 10%. I'm going to recognize Him in the way I handle the rest as well. So that if He watches how I'm spending things and what I'm doing things, He's going to be pleased. You see, a lot of times our biggest problem is simply a lack of discipline. We've been living this way and had plenty of money to do it at times, and now suddenly we've got to tighten and things are changed and things are different. And we're not good at that, are we? We just think, well, if I can get through this long enough, we'll go back to what it was and everything will be fine. No, it's not going back there. Finally, be at peace. Be at peace. Job 31:24. Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Does my happiness depend on my wealth and all that I own? Now, we know the answer to that, don't we? Hello? Okay, in case you don't, the answer is, does my happiness depend on my wealth? No, it doesn't. You see, there are some of you here today, and you don't have a money care in the world that you're set, you're fine. You've ridden the storm well. Things haven't affected you like they have others, and you find yourself in a good place. But here's what I've learned over the years. You can be here and be in that position right now and still not be financially free. Because you're losing sleep at night, because finances are still controlling your life. Financial freedom is not about having all the bills paid and having money in the bank. Financial freedom has to do with money doesn't control me, and I don't love it, and I serve God with it, and I give as God directs. And when I tithe, I'm not done, because God probably wants me to give more. And I will listen to Him and give as He wants me to give. Because I believe at times God will try to teach us to depend upon Him by telling us to give more than we can afford, to test us to see if we'll listen to Him so that He can be the provider in our lives. Now that doesn't make sense to your accountant. But when you take it in line with God's Word, it lines up perfectly. Well, Pastor, I just have a hard time with that. Yeah? And that's why you're going to have a hard time in life with your money. There are others of you here that are in tough times. But you've been hit really hard, really tough over the last few years. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel like a failure. Forgive yourself for the choices maybe you look back on and think, man, if I just hadn't have done that. There is no crystal ball to the future. Well, are you sure this is going to work? No. You know, you're looking, is this going to be a safe, secure investment? No one can give you that guarantee. Is God going to work? Is His ways going to work? Always. Count on it. So what do I need to learn? Where do I need to put my priority? How do I need to take where I'm at this moment and allow God to be in control of it and me not lose sleep over it or feel like a failure because of it? Proverbs 11:28, trust in your money and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Success in life is not determined by a dollar sign. Success in life is determined by how well I serve God and how well I use my resources, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my resources that God gives to me. How well do I use them for His kingdom? Because God says, look, if you make my kingdom your primary concern, I'll take care of everything else. Hebrews 13:5. Stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Thank God.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.